This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We posted this poll question as well. Will the 49ers make the playoffs? 65% say yes. 65%. Say yes. We'll dive into the 49ers here in just a couple of minutes. You feeling good about your football team?
I am.
Well, you're gonna have to.
Humble hearts still. Humble hearts.
Oh, humble hearts. Okay, good. You're gonna have to hold on those excitements, on that excitement feeling, because we've still got King's business to talk about.
Oh yeah, we got to handle these guys first.
I mentioned Alvin Gentry. He talked about the lack of energy that the team had entering that Memphis Grizzlies game.
Well, we have to play with energy. You know, as I said, we're a team. We're not a big team. We're a team that's fast, and we're a team that has to play with energy, and I didn't think we did that tonight. I thought at the start of the game, everything came so easy. You know, the first 11 points they scored were just very easy, almost like shoot around type shots. And that's getting us off and on the wrong track. And, you know, that was pretty much the way it was throughout the whole game, really.
And I should mention this, because I mentioned James Hamm and Jason Jones. What I didn't mention, an hour from now, we're going to send you to see the Sacramento Kings take on that same Memphis team that was up 37 points against them last night. So you get the opportunity to see this in person on December 17th. So we'll have that coming up for you 1 hour from right now, the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to send you to see the Kings in Memphis.
That's Sunday, right?
Sunday
afternoon game. That'll be good.
Well, just like yesterday was a Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. They
cool.
Couldn't,
I see
they
this
couldn't
going
give
well.
Me, they couldn't give me the Kenny sweep. Remember, I only got it one time in my life. Niners, Kings. Well, maybe not one time in my life, but one time in the last like 3 or 4 years.
Well, that's good, because the 17th is a Friday. So,
oh, it is? Oh,
yeah.
I'll be in the building. You know I love my Friday games. Okay. I'll be in the building.
They do play the Spurs on that Sunday, if it matters for you, and the 49ers are playing the Falcons.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to San Francisco that day, or Santa Clara. I'm going to go to that game.
Okay.
I ain't been to Levi's all year.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go. But,
choosing the Falcons, huh?
Yeah, I was talking, once again, I was talking a lot on Saturday night with my man Bonte, and he was like, "Yo, you need to pull up tomorrow," talking about Sunday, this Vikings game. I was like, but see, for us going there, that's not a, the night before, I think I'm going to go to the game type of deal. You know what I'm saying? That's a journey. I got to figure out how I'm doing, because I don't like to drive in there and park in Santa Clara. Maybe, you know, if I could take some public transportation, I'd do that. Got to figure out which way I'm going. Got to see what the weather's like, because I'll be damned if I'll be out there if it's raining. That's not really my bag. So it's just the whole thing. So I almost went yesterday, but nah, I think I'm going to go to that Falcons game. Check that out.
Okay.
But I say all that to say, though, get well soon, John Morant. I was watching when that happened, and that looked bad. That looked bad. I'm glad it was only a sprain.
I
say that to say he might be back by the time.
I was going to say, I am not comfortable enough saying, hey, we're going to send you to see John Morant.
No.
I'm not. We're sending you to see Memphis. I don't know who's going to be out there for him. And the bad news for the Kings, it appears to not matter who is out there for the other teams, because they seem to put up a fight. And Alvin Gentry was asked about pulling the starter so early in the game yesterday?
Well, that was part of it, yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to say that. You know, that was part of it.
The question was, are you trying to send a message by pulling the starter so early?
Well, that was part of it, yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to say that. You know, that was part of it. We started the third quarter, and I didn't think we had the kind of activity that I thought we should have. And then after a couple of easy baskets here and there, I just thought it was I decided I was trying to try somebody else.
Yeah, and we saw it in the first minutes of the game. We saw it in the third quarter. We saw my man just searching, trying to figure out a combination that could keep this team in the game as the game went along, and it just got worse. It just kept getting worse. Everything he tried, it was like, ha-ha, that ain't going to work. Ha-ha, nope, not that. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and that's what happened yesterday.
I'm tired of these type of moments where you see what's in front of you see what's in front of you.
Especially after the good vibes of the weekend.
Yeah.
Or earlier in the weekend.
You know, just not being able to capitalize and what they've been talking about, not being able to stack days, you know, stack wins and stack positive performances. Like, we're kind of asking for that at this point. Positive performances. Like, going to Memphis, yeah, you just played a triple overtime game, so maybe the legs aren't there, but you're out there competing. It's a game in the fourth. We'll take our chances there. We can't even get that. Turn on the TV, 11-0 to start. This one's over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a certain, like, like, if we don't watch a game and come in here and try to talk about it, you know. Everybody knows. Like, you can see through that BS a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
So after 11-0, this was 2.5 minutes into the game, sitting here arms folded like, I have to sit through this crap for the next 2 hours because we got to show it. This game couldn't have happened on Wednesday or Friday. It's happening today because we have to talk about this trash.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there watching every painstaking moment, hoping, put together a couple of shots, put together a couple of defensive stops, get a turnover. Hit your free throws. Get a sit. Just string something together so you get one of those weird moments. Now, the game was in Memphis, but I think it was Phoenix, where there's like 3 minutes left, and the team hits a shot and goes down 9, and the crowd's going crazy. It's like, context is so important. Like, the crowd is going nuts, and the team is down by 9. Give us a moment where Kings fans at home are going nuts because you're only down 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they just it wasn't there. And then it's like these types of things. There are moments, and this isn't, again, it would be so easy to say throw yesterday's game out. Dude, this team was 9 of 42 from 3. Now, I know that they're you know, they were, the game was never ever close. Like, they were down a ton the entire game. So I get that maybe in games like this, you start jacking up threes, like, whatever. This is a trend for the Kings, though, that no matter how bad they're shooting from three, like, this team has literally adopted the personality of Buddy Hield.
Oh, for sure.
No matter how bad the team collectively is shooting from three, they're going to keep shooting threes. Over and over and over again, they're going to keep shooting threes. It doesn't matter that this was a 37-point blowout or a 27-point blowout or a double-digit blowout or whatever. The game could have been close, and they would have kept shooting threes. That's what they do, and they don't deviate from it. And from my perspective, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening to watch them shoot threes at the rate in which they do, because they don't do it well.
No.
If you're going to do something with that amount of regularity, at least be good at it. And they're not.
No. Not at all. And, well, look, it's been asked a little bit. I'm going to just put it out there. We got to talk about it. Gabriel in the YouTube chat says, can we talk about Fox's weak defense more?
We can.
And Friday was atrocious at times with him guarding Russell Westbrook or whoever he was guarding. We saw the same thing on Wednesday. Against Dame or CJ or Norman Powell. And then last night you had the Anthony Melton just time and time again. And not to say that it's all on him. Nobody's saying that. But the inconsistent nature of this team and the inconsistent focus and energy. You say this team takes on the lifeline or the DNA of Buddy Hield, and you're not wrong. They also take on the life of somebody like De'Aaron Fox.
Mm.
And that's one of the things where I look at this team, and he's your best player. He's your best player, and you take on the DNA of your best player. And sometimes it comes off that way, at least. Sometimes he's locked in. Sometimes he's just kind of passive and blase blah. And that's what is that, or is that not what we see from this Kings team?
Yeah. No, that's it. That's it.
Sometimes they play defense. In that same game with the Lakers, he let when we say walk to the lane.
Oh,
like sometimes that's like, oh,
is that the
walked.
One I text you? Yeah. I text you right after yeah. that. Like, you like, gotta be kidding
Westbrook
me.
Didn't run. He didn't
nope.
jog. He
nope.
walked
nope.
from the 3-point line for a layup.
Yep.
And what's
and De'Aaron
so
didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything. And what's so infuriating about that is the very next play, De'Aaron locked up. So you have the ability, for whatever reason, you're just choosing not to. And once again, that is what this team does. You have the ability to play good defense and to be tough, but sometimes you just don't. They take on the personality and the DNA of your best player. And right now, this team looks like De'Aaron Fox looks.
That play was so infuriating.
That was ridiculous.
That was so infuriating. And we have collectively, D'Lo and KC, have taken a lot of L's with this Sacramento Kings team. I'd argue there is no bigger L than I've taken than saying that De'Aaron Fox isn't a bad defender. I never believed before this season that De'Aaron was a bad defender. I thought not only did I think he was not a bad defender, I thought he could get better. I thought Doug Christie was going to be able to help him. This isn't a shot at Doug at any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Doug was going to be able to make De'Aaron a great defender. I've heard Doug. I've talked to Doug about things that De'Aaron could do to be a better defender. He has gotten significantly worse on that side of the ball.
He's
and
atrocious.
I get maybe he wasn't good before, but he wasn't this.
No.
He is bad on that side of the ball. Just awful.
He's atrocious on the defensive end, and I'd love to sit and watch a game film or a couple of plays with him or the coaches or whatever the case may be, because some of it I see, and it's so bad, I want to say, like, that has to be a scheme thing. Like, somebody's telling you to play defense. That can't be your effort in your attempt to play defense. So it has to be on the coach. Like, the coach is saying, go over and let this guy go into the paint or go into the teeth of the defense so they can try something. Because if you're telling me this is what I chose to do and this is how I'm playing defense, that is embarrassing.
His explosiveness is just gone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about De'Aaron. We'll talk more about the Kings. We got James Hamm joining us a little bit over now from now. I want to talk about the San Francisco 49ers as well. We've got flip side ahead.
Yeah.
My partner's having him a day. We've got a lot more coming up, plus your chance to win tickets to see your beloved Sacramento Kings. That's all coming up here as D'Lo and Casey continue on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
It's 49ers Monday, brought to you by Gilmore Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Right now, Gilmore is offering Niner fans a $49 furnace safety inspection. Just mention this ad. You get more with Gilmore. Numbers for those who are into those sort of things. The Kings are 24th in three-point percentage and 16th in three-point attempts. Also, Mr. Elite, Steph, Buddy is shooting 37% from three-point range right now. He's shooting a career-high number of attempts per game at 10.7. Mm. So, again, 37.8% for Buddy Hield from three, who was one of nine one day. This, I don't know if that was yesterday.
Yesterday, I think.
Was it yesterday? Okay. Yeah.
He was Friday. He was killing the Kings Friday night.
3 of 13.
He was 3 of 13 on Friday night?
Mm-hmm. Against Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he hit, you know, some huge shots in that game. Like, he hit, obviously, the one to tie it. I think he tied it on two different occasions. Mm-hmm. He hit some huge shots, man, and ended up with 25 points.
Mm-hmm.
He, as well, needed about a quarter and a half extra to get to 25. But, I mean, I just look at that, and that's not sustainable. That's not. It's not sustainable. And jackasses that tweet me whenever he has a good moment here and there.
There's plenty of them.
Don't stop embarrassing yourself, because you. I'm gonna tell you right now, some of these people are starting to suspend themselves from having basketball talk with me. You're gonna get suspended. I'm just not talking hoop with people that tweet me how good Buddy is once every 2 weeks when he hits two or three shots. This is not sustainable. This isn't good. It's not good.
Yeah, it's really not. 3 of 13, and I love the fact that he was like barking and yelling, and it's like, okay. Like, hey, I get it. Hey, in the moment you couldn't get one to fall. Not only did you get one to fall, you got two to fall, and it's gonna lead your team to victory. That's awesome. Fantastic. Maybe the team would have been in a better spot if you weren't jacking up 13 threes along the way. Maybe. Yeah, what do I know?
And
I just watch basketball. That's all I do.
And bricking them. What,
Some of them he didn't even brick. Some of them just sailed by and landed in a opposing player's hands.
I knew the
without
game
hitting
was,
anything.
I knew the game was done last night when I think they were trying to go for 2-for-1 at the end of the first quarter. And it wasn't even like, there was like 35 seconds left when they inbounded it.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy got the ball, dribbled out, and tried to go for a 2-for-1 with like 27 seconds left. It's like, bro, the 2-for-1's done at that point. Get a good shot. But he tried to go for it nonetheless. And I think it was Dylan Brooks. Said, get that crap out of here. Blocked the 3-pointer. Went on to the other end. Memphis scores in the quarter. I was like, yeah, this is shit. This is the shot that is going to get you beat every time.
Reminds me of that line that Jim Ross used to say about Ken Shamrock. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer there, King.
what did Guru Monsoon say? The elevator don't go to the top floor.
We know that these are just regular sayings. We're just referencing them as said by our favorite announcers. 916 wrestling announcers, of course. 916-349-1320. Let's get to our man TC here. TC, what's happening?
TC.
Yes, sir. My two brothers, man. What's up?
My man, what's good, man? 6-5 Niners, what's good?
Man, 6-5 Niners, man. We trying to get it together, man. Kyle still ain't off the hook, though.
That's all right. Keep that heat on him. Keep that heat on him. It's all good.
Right. But look, now we talking Kings, though, because look, man, I'm just trying to get on everybody. Look, check it out, man. We need to be looking. Fox is not untradeable. I'm tired of saying it. I'm tired of everybody saying that, bro. Dude is untradeable. Dude has not worked on his jump. He has not worked on his jump shot. He is not facilitating for others. And like you said, Damian, he lost his explosiveness, and he doesn't play on both ends of the floor. How is he untradeable? That's my question. I think that I'm here, bro. I'm tired of hearing that he's untradeable. The dude's tradable, bro. He has, like, he's getting better, like, in little things. But the big things, he's not getting better at, bro. That's all I got to say.
I don't even know if he's getting better in the little things, to be honest with you. That doesn't mean he's bad, but, I mean, what improvement have we seen from De'Aaron Fox since his second year in the league?
Well, he's become a better scorer. It's just like, it's going to be difficult to say anything about De'Aaron's improvement in the game because he's not doing it now. And so while I don't think that De'Aaron Fox is untradeable, I still wouldn't trade him. I don't have any interest in trading De'Aaron Fox.
I don't have any interest in trading him either. I agree with you. I'm not going to sit up here and say he's untradeable, but I'm not trying to trade him. I know that much. And when I talk about breaking up this core, that's the last piece, if you ask me. You know, I'm working with the buddies and the Bagleys, and I'd even probably try to go Harrison, because you got to give up something to get something. So I look there before. Fox is the last guy that I'm trying to trade. But if people are calling me and presenting things to me, I'm not hanging up the phone.
Yeah, I mean, for the right, I think there is no, you can't be this bad of a team and this bad of a franchise and have any untradeable player. De'Aaron Fox is not untradeable. For the right deal, it's there, especially, and, you know, Tyrese Halliburton's right there ready to run the point position. Davion Mitchell is right there ready to run the point position if necessary. I'm just not at the point where I've seen De'Aaron improve. In my opinion, he has improved, not on the defensive end. I'm not going to take that L anymore. But I've seen his game evolve a little bit over, you know, his first four seasons, and then all of a sudden he's having a, you know, a terrible start here to his fifth campaign. I'm not, oh, this trade him now. Trade him now. I'm not going to throw away the last 4 years of what I've seen. I'm not going to throw away last year or the year before, for that matter. My far bigger concern with De'Aaron Fox than anything he does on the floor is his attitude. I genuinely feel like his attitude sucks, and I don't know why. I don't know if he just hates that part of his job. Like, he hates talking to the media. He hates talking to reporters. I don't know if he hates it here. Maybe Bart Scott was right. Maybe Bart Scott was right all along. Like, I'm not like, yo, here, let's, I don't think I have the isolated sound. I got the whole. No, that ain't it. Where is it?
You know what I'm saying? De'Aaron Fox is not happy there.
Well, honestly, I wouldn't do it. I would start Jeff Teague.
Maybe he was right.
He was on point the whole time.
Maybe he was right. Maybe Vlade still is running things like Bart Scott said.
He was on point the whole time. Hey, so they're in, you know, they're in the chat, and the what's the name? That F guy 916.
Okay.
He says, Kenny, 3 months ago, you only addressed me, but okay. Put Damien in there if you want to. Kenny, 3 months ago, you were both talking about his big jump last year. Now it's, when has he gotten significantly better since year two? Knock it off. Okay. I'll ask you. You can answer it too, Damien, but I'll ask the guy.
Well, I don't
in
think the
chat.
F guy 916 can respond, so I'll try to respond for the F guy 916.
What has he gotten better at?
Not defense, not getting to the foul line,
not making his free throws,
not shooting threes. Now, you have to stall me out here a little bit. I feel like I can answer the question, but I have to talk about last year's De'Aaron Fox and not this year's, because everything that we saw last year, he's not doing. Like, we mentioned this, and I think we mentioned it during, you know, a streaming only portion of YouTube. His explosiveness is gone. Either it's gone, or he's saving it for something, or he just doesn't utilize it. But it appears like his ability to explode to the basket, the thing that made him one of the more unique players in the league, the thing that kind of set him apart, was his speed. And that appears to either be gone or not utilized anymore. So again, if you can stall me out, last year I felt like he was explosive and got to the basket a lot more. I felt like his mid-range game was a lot stronger. I feel like he could pull up from the elbows, and you know, maybe
money all day.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Maybe not as automatic as Rashawn's put shot, but I felt like when you saw him take two steps in, when he caught the ball, you know, behind the line, you were confident in what he was going to do. Maybe you wouldn't have been confident in a catch and shoot situation right there, but if he catches that ball, gets past his defender, which he was always very capable of doing, two steps closer to the basket, pull up, boom, you were comfortable in that too.
Yep.
I feel like he did that a lot last year. It's just all of that stuff that he jumped, in my opinion, from year one to two to three to four, it's all non-existent right now.
Yeah.
That stuff he did last year is gone.
The
or midi, not being utilized.
The midi, the mid-range jump shot, that's his best shot right now. He is, I don't want to say perfected it, but that's a good shot for him. He is comfortable shooting that shot, and he's worked on that. He's good at the shot. What we saw last year was, yeah, he made a jump. We hoped that he would continue or at least do the same. We didn't even ask him for another jump. He's regressed. He's regressed so far this season. Can he turn that back around? I don't know. But here's the deal. Here's what it really is. I've watched Fox for a long time, since his freshman year in Kentucky. And the whole thing has always been, if he gets a jump shot, he'll be this and that. Mm-hmm. He's never gotten a jump shot. He's never gotten a jump shot. He hasn't improved enough on that, at the very least from distance, to be able to do that. He doesn't hit his free throws consistently right now. Maybe he'll go on this long free throw streak and, you know, the percentage will raise up and he'll get better. But as we are, I can't tell you what the future holds. I'm talking about what I see right now. Right now, he hasn't gotten better. It hasn't shown. He had a great season last year. And also, when I say he hasn't gotten better, that doesn't mean he's a bad basketball player.
He hasn't gotten better from last year.
He hasn't gotten better consistently, I think, since second or third year.
Really? I don't think I agree with that. We acknowledge the uniqueness of last season, where the season started and it was kind of, it was normal. Mm-hmm. Career-wise, okay, De'Aaron started normal. And then he accelerated a little bit. It was like, oh, okay, this is dope. And then he exploded, and it was like, oh, God, De'Aaron Fox is the greatest player of all time. He's going to be our all-star, and we're going to hang his jersey in the Raptors in the statue, and we're going to start bringing in championships. Only slight exaggeration. But to say that he didn't prove, like, improve from year two to three to four, I don't think that's fair.
This is what I'm saying, though, when I say consistency-wise. It's the same thing. Like, he has great moments last year, and then he'd have these moments where he'd ramp it back down, where he's scoring like 12, 16, 17 points. Then he'd ramp it back up, and he'd score 35.
No, I feel like he was significantly more consistent last year. Now, he did have those moments, but when you look at those moments like in context, I think you see a lot of moments like last night. Because, again, remember, we're still talking about, whether it's last year or this year, we're still talking about a bad basketball team. So there were plenty of nights where we didn't want to believe it this year, and we'll be the first ones to get run over by that hype train. Mm. But a lot of those games where he had 12, like, the team was down 27. Like, they were down 14-0. He couldn't get the shots going at the beginning. And, again, I think it's unfair to look at this season and say this is De'Aaron Fox as a player, period.
So this is what I'll say, though, if we're being consistent. Is it fair to look at last year and be like, he made the jump? Because last year, essentially,
that's what we certainly thought that he did.
We thought he did, and we hope he did, but right now, last year's looking like the outlier. He looks to be more of a 19 to 22-point a game type of guy.
Can we... I need to point this out. I love y'all for listening and watching. Shout out to Mark Jason. Never trust a dude with two first names. But dude was playing for his max contract last year. Now he got it and he don't care. It's not like he's going to get demoted in pay. Fam, he already had the max contract last year.
Yeah.
It just didn't kick in till this year.
Get back to me.
So scrub that from the internet.
Yeah.
Start the thought over. And hit us back with something different.
Yeah,
because to say he got the bag,
and then come back to me.
To say that he's gotten the bag and checked out is a little is.
And look, man, maybe it's because it's pie in the sky. I don't think it is. I'm not going to say that about De'Aaron. I don't want to believe that about De'Aaron Fox, that he got the money and now he doesn't care as much. I don't think that's the case at all. I just don't think he's playing well right now. I think that. That's just what I said. The improvement on certain aspects of his skills just it hasn't developed. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have nothing to fall back on right now.
I think the again, my concern is it feels like his attitude is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basketball wise, I don't know how you're suddenly going to get better at defense. And that's like that's a greater concern for me than anything, because it feels like he's like, when you talk about De'Aaron Fox, you can essentially only talk about one side of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't talk about him as a complete basketball player anymore. And there's no way you want a De'Aaron Fox highlight from this year. The only play that I can think of from De'Aaron Fox this entire year moving forward is going to be that damn Russell Westbrook play.
Mm.
It was one of the most absurd things I've ever seen on a basketball floor before. Like, you, I'm not like you. I don't watch games the way that you do. I'll just look down and shake my head. Like, I don't audibly react to stuff that makes my family look at me crazy like your family does you when you're watching a sporting event. That moment got me to react. That moment, I grabbed my phone. I'm texting you. I'm yelling, you've got it. And that's my dude. But I'm like, what are you doing?
That was...
You let another player walk to the basket and just like flick the ball in the air. Just lay it in.
And that's where I'll say something like that. I'd love to know what the game plan was, because that had to have been... Like, it was so ridiculous, that had to have been the game plan. Like, you couldn't have willingly let that happen. That could have been a miscommunication in the game plan.
Maybe he thought someone was there.
Maybe.
They weren't.
I don't know. I don't know. That could not have been your effort on the defensive end.
I don't know. I don't know if... I don't quite know how to answer that.
Yeah, neither do we.
Our guy Poker Pro Eric says Kenny is obsessed with points per game. Every show we hear about this. Never worried about shooting percentage or minutes or shots per game, just points per game. Well, Eric, if you were listening last week, I gave you all the numbers and they're all down significantly.
Eric's one of those guys who's here. He just doesn't actually listen.
He just says whatever. Points per game. And he's your best player. He's supposed to lead you in points per game.
Yeah. Roddy Quick with the BTE. We got to get to BTE. Bad take, Eric. You two can jump in the chat house.
BTE.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. You could hit us on the phone lines as well. 916-349-1320. Everybody has... a feeling on what's going on with De'Aaron Fox, man, and I don't know
what it is. I hope it changes. I hope that it's more like, that's why I can't even, Eric, that's why I can't even go super in on saying I hope it's more like Friday, because I didn't like what I saw defensively from him on Friday. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he scored, he put up the points, but well, I didn't like what I saw defensively from him.
He did, and I'm not going to take it away from him. But 34 on 32 is not the number that you're looking for.
No.
It's in three overtimes. It's not. But again, I'm not going to kill him for that. The Kings won that game, and it was a hell of a job by them. Let's get to our man, Phil, here. Again, it's 916-349-1320. What's happening, Phil?
Yes, sir. You know, I really think it's his attitude that you nailed it right there. His best game for De'Aaron Fox this year was when he played against San Antonio, and he still burns from what Pop did to him last year. And once he had a great game from you know, every aspect.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean,
he scored well that game. The shot was cooking. The moves was good.
And the Kings got blown out, right?
Yeah,
the Kings got blown out.
Yeah. They got beat down. So there's that. And to your point about not liking his attitude, more than the numbers and all this other stuff, he's the best player right now. And essentially, This team takes on the identity of Fox and Buddy. Mm-hmm. And that's not good.
Which is insane.
That's not good.
Absolutely insane.
Hey, they're there every practice. They're doing what they got to do. They be looking for Buddy. They be looking to get him the ball, get him the shots. They run the plays for him. They look for Buddy. And that's just, may they see, you know, they believe in him. They see what he does in a practice setting or whatever the case may be. But they look to him. They live and die by Buddy. And they come out with the attitude of whatever De'Aaron Fox is doing that day. Whatever he's feeling that day, that's kind of what it is. That's what we're going to get.
I'm not going to stall De'Aaron out a little bit, but this I was pulling up that the Russell Westbrook play on Friday night, and De'Aaron is culpable for what went on. But let's also point out Marvin Bagley is standing at the corner watching. Alex Lynn is standing in the key watching. They're all watching Russell Westbrook walk. And I can't stress this enough. It's not Russell Westbrook ahead of steam, which I get. Like, in that sense, I get it.
Right.
It's Russell Westbrook walking to the basket, realizing, hey, man, no one's in front of me. I'm just going to take a hard step right here and just lay it right in. This is, like, it is stunningly awful. Alex Lynn doesn't... Alex Lynn and Marvin Bagley don't even close in on the play. It's like they're enamored by Russell. It's like they're me. They're just out there watching Russell Westbrook do his thing, not trying to get in his way at all. After De'Aaron got left at the top of the key somewhere around Anthony Davis. Man, there is a De'Aaron Fox problem on defense. But, man, this Sacramento Kings team defensively, holy goodness, man. It's bad.
It's terrible. I'm not sure.
Absolutely awful.
I'm not sure how or why those things continue to happen.
I don't know why.
Like, I don't know how that's ever acceptable and how that's okay.
How did we get fooled a couple of games into the season thinking, okay, they're working harder defensively?
Were they, or
are we just stupid?
No, I think they were. I don't think they have what it takes to sustain that, though, as a group.
The downside of that is they're terrible offensively. Not terrible, but they're not as good offensively as we hoped they would be. So now you have the – let them keep give it another lengthier stretch. They'll be right back there at the 30th spot in defense.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be terribly far away from it. They got to be, what, in the 26, 27 range? Give us the all-star break. And there's a very real scenario. This team could be exactly where they were last year at the all-star break. Trying to trade Buddy Hield, still trying to trade Marvin Bagley.
It's been the same team for 3 years. The same thing. They do the same things that they did in 2019, 2020. They do the same thing. Nothing has changed.
It's 49ers Monday, brought to you by City Center Financial. Refinance today below 1.99% APR at 1-866-GO-CITY-6. We'll talk about the 49ers and their huge victory over the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk more Kings as well. We've got your tickets to see the Kings versus Memphis coming up at the very top of the hour. 2 o'clock on the dot, we've got you set up, and then we got James Hamm joining us at 2:30. That's all ahead here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Oh, it's 49ers Monday, brought to you by City Center Financial.
It is a 49ers Monday, and it's brought to you by City Center Financial. Refinance today below 1.99% APR at GoCityCenter.com.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing like three things.
That's
at one
what
time.
It is. That's okay. I'm with you. I'm loading the DLoandKC.com commercial into the stream so we can play it for the stream. And then those who are listening on the radio, they could just go to DLoandKC.com for the Cyber Monday special of 30% off.
30%.
We're both rocking DLoandKC gear today.
You know
come on
it.
Now.
You know it.
Shout out to the Shout out to the Dope Ones and Dave Garcia 209. Let's get back to you. I want to touch on the 49ers as well. We've got your chance to see the Sacramento Kings take on Memphis coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We will have those tickets for you, but let's get to these phone lines first. 916-349-1320. Let's go to Dave. Dave, what's happening, man?
Hey guys, how are you doing? It's been a while since I called. I think the last time I called, I said we should trade Barnes and Fade for Cade. So it's been a while.
But yes.
I think we need to quit blaming Luke, quit blaming Fox, and put the blame where it belongs, which is Monty. You can't run an you can't have a roster in the NBA that's short at every position and are bad shooters. That's not going to work. It doesn't matter who the coach is. And it takes Fox's strengths away from him, which is driving to the bucket, because nobody has to respect any of our outside shooting. The roster makes zero sense. And that's on Monty. Nobody else would have a roster this unbalanced with a lack of length and a lack of shooting. The roster construction is the root of the problem.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I'd argue he didn't bring back Terrence Davis thinking he would be this bad of a shooter, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Terrence Davis wasn't, I mean, for what he was, his role, he was solid last year. I don't think Monty McNair brought Terrence Davis back with any misconceptions as to what he thought he would be. I think he brought Terrence Davis back to be the guy that he was last year.
Right.
Nothing more, nothing less. Be that guy. Unfortunately, he's not.
Right.
Buddy, he tried to trade. Like, he very much tried to get rid of Buddy Hield and couldn't. So I hear you. I absolutely hear the flaws with the roster makeup. And Monty's, yeah, but you know, Monty's clock is ticking now. And I don't think Monty's going to be fired this offseason. I don't mean to insinuate that. I think Monty McNair would be more likely to quit this offseason than be fired.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you look at the coaching thing, you look at the roster makeup, because this roster wise, whether he likes it or not, it might not have been ideal. It might not have been choice one or two or three. It's Monty's. This is his squad. This is what he put together this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still in a position where, I mean, this roster is better. It's constructed well enough to be better than what they are. Like, let's just stick to where the expectations were. You know what I mean? Like, the expectations were not to be a top four seed in the West. No, the roster is not built for that. It's not constructed for that. This roster was constructed and the expectations were to be in the play-in scenario. And it's just fine for that. It is just fine for that. And they're not getting it done. They're not producing. They're out there getting smacked up by 30. The roster construction should not have them getting beat by 30 in those situations. You know what I mean? They've gotten beat by 30, 20 in three of the last, what, five games? Like, that's inexcusable, man. Getting beat down by San Antonio. Blown 18-point leads by Oklahoma City. To me, that has nothing to do with the roster makeup basketball-wise. May have something to do with having the right people in the locker room emotionally, spiritually, mentally. It may have something to do with that. But basketball-wise, this team, I think as it speaks right now, they're like a game out of 10. Like, this team, this roster, should not be on the outside looking in right now.
You sure?
Yeah.
They're two games back. Is this roster better than Memphis?
I think it's about the same. I think Memphis, the X factor is Memphis is just tougher mentally and physically.
I think Memphis has a leader, too.
They absolutely have a leader.
Minnesota?
Minnesota's top heavy. You know, they've got better stars as a whole.
We're not even that.
No. As a whole.
We're not even
but you
can,
we you know, talked about how Minnesota's roster doesn't work. You know what I mean? And now they've got a guy like D'Angelo who shoots too much and Cat who wants the ball and Ant-Man who wants the ball. That team lost 7 in a row earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're still,
they were
think
just
about
able
that.
To be
think
tough
about
enough
what you
to
just
get
said.
Up out of that.
Think about what you just said. They've lost 7 in a row and they're still at 500.
Mm-hmm.
They're still 10-10.
They got enough grit to them to climb up out of that. So there's teams with comparable rosters, maybe slightly better, whatever the case may be, but considering where their record is, like, it's not like these teams, even if we say Memphis and Minnesota have better rosters, it's not like they're running away with the West. Like, they're there 500.
Well, no, what I'm just trying to look at the teams in those tiers.
Yeah, no, like, I know what you're saying.
That's all I'm looking at.
I'm just saying, like, the Kings can't be a game or two below 500 with this roster. That's what we're asking. Be a game or two below 500 with this roster.
Well, apparently not. And perhaps a bigger concern moving forward is, you know, one thing. We'll talk to James Hamm here in about a half hour or so. He said this from jump. There is one giant concern that the Kings fans should have. And it's if Harrison Barnes goes on to miss significant time. Now, I don't know if Harrison Barnes is missing significant time or not. But we've seen the team without Harrison Barnes in a couple of games here. One, Friday night, which that was what it was. They walked away with a W. The other one, Sunday afternoon. That game was what it was, too. But it wasn't what it was on Friday. You saw two very different teams out there performing in very different ways. And not just Harrison Barnes out, Rashawn Holmes as well. Mo Harkless missed the game yesterday. So Mo Harkless, I don't put in the same category. With all due respect to my man, I don't put him in the same category as Harrison Barnes and Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah.
I'm completely unclear as to what Rashawn's situation is. Because he was listed out with an illness.
No, oh, but yesterday he was
listed.
Illness.
Yeah, he was listed like he was out with a non-COVID related illness.
I saw him out and I thought it was just the eye still.
Yeah, I don't know if his eye is better, if it was scratched. I don't know if he's going goggles when he gets back, mask. I don't know what it is, but I was confused by the wording of yesterday saying that he was out with an illness. So,
they need him back. They need all hands on deck. That's for sure.
Because even with all hands on deck, you're struggling. So when you start losing guys, it becomes, and you hope that there's the effect of, and that's one of the things that I think was sitting in the back of some Kings fans' minds, because it was certainly sitting in the back of mine after the win on Friday. It was like, okay, we saw this last year. We saw them lose the guys, key players. We saw them lose De'Aaron and Tyrese, and we saw how they were able to respond. Now, hopefully these guys aren't amount for anything long term at all. But you go down a couple of guys, maybe someone sees it as an opportunity. Maybe there's an extra motivation. I don't know what it is. And you think, okay, you get that little feel. Oh, you got to feel good after that Friday. They know everybody's buzzing after that Friday night win. Again, you follow it up in the most. You said it. I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. Like this, the whole scenario, 11-0, down 37. Blown out by 27, it was all predictable.
Mm-hmm.
It was all predictable.
That's what this group has shown that they consistently do. They fail to rise to the occasion. They fail to meet expectations. And I'll continue to clarify this because I think it's important to clarify it. That doesn't mean the individuals are bad players. But this group collectively, the core group, we've seen it. This, you guys tell me, what has changed from 2019-2020 to today? They lose the same type of games. They lose the same way. They play the same way. It's the same lifelessness to them in certain spurts. And then they surprise you and they play with emotion and do all this other great stuff. From game to game, you never know what it is. It's the same thing. It's the same team. They do the same things that they do night in and night out.
For multiple seasons now, and I think that's the part that I think that's one of the many parts that's so frustrating for Kings fans is it's just a never-ending cycle. It's just the same things over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And now I think, and part of me wonders if, and again, I'm not naive to his production or specifically lack thereof, but I wonder if Kings fans are trying to turn on De'Aaron Fox before he turns on them. Do you feel me? Like are Kings fans looking at this like, you know what? I'm going to break up with you because I know how this is going. It turns out we still stink. So if I break up with you when you inevitably go to break up with me, it won't hurt. It won't bother me. I won't be sad about it. You'll be on my Jason Terry list. You'll be on my Spencer Hawes list. You'll be on my George Hill list. Oh, get him out of here.
Poor George Hill. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way.
Of course it shouldn't.
It should literally be, hey, you're not playing up to par right now what we think that you're capable of playing. That's all it is. That's all it is. And when people hear, like, you know, this or I come at him or something like that, they look at it. Stephen Brown was in the chat earlier talking about he's still averaging 20-6. Hey, he's not a bad player at all. He's a really good player that I think can play a lot better than he's shown. You know what I mean? And that should be all there is to it. It's not that simple, I guess, all the time. But that's now when I come out and I say, look, he's not a franchise guy. I haven't seen enough to change my mind on that because what he brings to the table is too inconsistent. When you talk about leadership, actual gameplay, and energy, you just never know what you're getting night to night, which is essentially what happens with the Sacramento Kings. I want off of that ride. I need somebody's imprints on there more than Fox's. Not Fox out of here. Just I need somebody's I need their style imprinted on this team more than De'Aaron Fox's is right now. Now he can still be on it and he can do what he does. But it's not for me at least, it's not a breakup situation. It's not get him out of here, nothing like that. He's just not producing the way I feel like he should and what he's capable of. And right now it's keeping the team from reaching their goals. It's part of what's keeping the team from reaching their goals.
Megan says, if we're a 500 team, we're going to lose half our games. Doesn't really matter how ugly or how close. And Megan is right. The problem is
we're not
a 500 team.
No.
It would almost be digestible. You know who's a 500 team right now? The Lakers, the Blazers, the T-Wolves, the Grizzlies. The Nuggets are a game below 500. Mm. A 500 team would be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what they are. They're an 8-13 team right now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.